So kicking off the show, I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing to amazing. And
it's not surprising. Nothing. This is the effect that the MLB draft has on baseball fans.
Yeah, I'm kind of dead right now after.
It's hard to get excited.
Yeah, it's kind of anticlimactic after, you know, going through the first, really the first three rounds and then occasionally dipping back
in. The whole thing's
in.
Anticlimactic, John. That's really what I'm trying to say. Like, we're not going to see any of these players in the big leagues for 3 or 5 years.
True. But it's the ramp up period.
I know, but every other league you get to see guys right away. It's not fair, John.
It isn't fair. Not even. Damn it. Okay, let's jump right into it. We'll talk about the draft in a second, but this is Foul Territory. This
is episode 27. You were so close to not saying the name of the show, John.
I was going to jump right into it with that, but I figured let me just preface a little bit. But I wasn't going to forget. I've got a string tied around my finger, so I'll never forget it. I actually don't, but you know.
Well, also, let's be clear. This is the original Foul Territory.
Yeah, not any of these cheap knockoffs.
Cheap knockoffs. By the way, there's another one.
Really?
I didn't even tell you about this. Yeah, there's some other jagoff who's decided that he wants to call his podcast Foul Territory. I don't even know what's going on. Don't people check the internet? Like, oh, maybe I should check to see.
But it's not the same concept. It's not the same focus. That's
the weird thing, too, is the other two Foul Territory shows are like broad sports shows. Foul Territory exists only in baseball.
Yeah, there is. There's no other reference in sports that I'm aware of.
There's like the foul lane, right, in basketball.
Sure.
People don't really call it that.
The foul line in bowling.
Foul line, right? Yeah. Over the line. Right. Little, you know, like Big Lebowski for
right.
everybody.
Right. Right. So.
Yeah. Market zero.
We should have dibs on this because we've been, not that we're the originators, but we've been doing this for over a year now.
That's right.
It's been over a year as of June.
Yeah, we did I did a rehash on a fake sponsor last week that was a fake sponsor I had done the year before. Because we've been doing this for over a year.
That's amazing. We did take some time off in the postseason during your transition from West Coast to East Coast.
Yes.
Which took a while.
That did take a while.
Because I almost
went back to the West Coast, and I was actually there for 2 months.
You were bi-coastal for a while.
Well, I was bi-coastal the whole time, and I still am bi-coastal.
You do go back quite a bit to LA.
Yeah, I'm all about the bicoastality. But
you're
for
a modernist.
While there, we weren't. For a while there, we weren't 100% sure we were locking into New York. So,
but it's looking good now.
Yeah, no, we got some stories to talk about here, John. But I gotta say, I haven't really checked the news in a couple days. I went to the beach today.
Ooh.
I went down to Coney Island for the first time. And honestly, I haven't looked. I don't know what's happening. I know Jeff Sessions was doing something, but we don't really get into that stuff. And it was probably all just usual political nonsense anyway.
Oh, it was great theater. Depending on what network you watched, it was great theater.
Oh, yeah? Because my guess is the left thought it was, you know, a great indictment of the blah, blah, blah. And the right was like, see, we told you. And
no, it was. I know this isn't political, and I watched Sean Hannity's show last night. And you would have thought that the world was coming to an end.
Oh no!
I was under the impression that we should be digging holes in the ground and getting into our bomb shelters, and because it was the end was nigh.
This Sean Hannity just keeping it real, man. Look, I want to tell people there's a mermaid festival at Coney Island in 3 days, and really
you're going
that's
back?
What we should. No, I'm not going back, but this is what we should be focusing on, right?
The good things.
Like mermaids. Come on. I don't care about this political stuff. Why does everyone care about all this political stuff? It was better when everyone had their head in the sand and presidents could sign executive orders that circumvented the Constitution. And we just didn't care because they were cool or because they were goofy.
It's the internet's fault.
Gosh, I don't know. The internet's been around. The internet let Obama get away with all his stuff. And that, you know what? The internet with a George Bush president would be interesting.
That would have been interesting, yeah.
I mean, there was the internet, but
it was
social media.
The social media didn't really take off till the end of his term, 2007.
That would have been a hell of a thing.
Yeah. it would have been even more polarizing than it was.
Yeah, remember his like strategery?
Yeah,
like you see like hashtag strategery.
There would have been so many memes and so many hashtags.
Covfefe is just the distant cousin of strategery.
It is. And nuclear.
Yes, come on. The best.
Good
the
times.
President. That was a president. I love that.
Good times. So I didn't mention that you're Jed Rigney and I'm John Sumple.
Okay.
At Jed Rigney, at Jed John Sumple on Twitter.
From the original Foul Territory. It reminds me a little bit of that Spinal Tap thing, right? Right? They were the originals, and then they had to change their name because there was already another band called the Originals. So then they changed their name to something else, but then they had to be called the New Originals.
Right.
And we are the original Foul Territory. Though, right. Technically speaking, there was a Foul Territory segment on a TV show 4 years ago. But that's, I'm not counting that as a podcast.
Okay. We're good. We're clean.
Yeah, I feel we're the clean Foul Territory podcast. Also, so if you go give reviews, good reviews, make sure you're giving them to us.
Yeah, not to some other Foul Territory.
Yeah, there's so many out there. You have to be careful. The more you know.
We're the foulest of territories.
Yes.
Okay, let's jump into headlines. No bit this week, opening.
Yeah.
We're just going to jump right into the draft.
Let's
and,
do it.
I think it's worthy of the conversation. There was quite a bit that happened over the course of the days leading up to and who was going to go first. And there was no clear-cut consensus number one pick this year.
Yeah, there was no Bryce Harper or Stephen Strasburg or, you know, other first-round.
And the person who winds up going first, some people had him as the best all-around talent, but other people had him going in anywhere from 5 to 7.
Right. I think it's because he was high school, right? That was
right.
His...
And the slot money, they were able to negotiate down, which got him in. And
smart. Right. So for everyone listening, and I'm going to assume everyone doesn't understand this slotting system, each team gets a certain amount of money to spend, and you can't trade your draft picks, and you can't move down or anything, but you can pick somebody at your slot, the first pick, the fourth pick, or whatever, and you can agree with that player to pay them less than what you would normally pay a player at that amount, and that gives you more money to spend later in the draft, which is important for some of the players that are harder to sign, especially high school players who are looking to go off to college. But so, you know, the Astros did that a few times when they had top picks, and it worked out pretty well for them. They're the best team in the American League. So part of that's because of that system. Anyway, I like the baseball draft. I like it more than all the other drafts. You know, like the NBA draft, you watch that, and it's like the guy who gets picked first is going to be a starter in the league next year.
Right.
Like, that's awesome. And the guy who gets picked, you know, even the guy who gets picked 18th is probably going to be a starter in the league. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And,
well, there's only two rounds in the NBA, so it's over pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's only, what, there's 30 teams and there's 12 spots, so there's 360. Plus, there's not so much attrition. And you have the developmental league now, but, I mean, minor league baseball, that's where everyone's going. The
40
best
rounds
player,
deep.
Yeah, and the best player in baseball is going to the minor leagues. They just... It's once every 5 years a player goes straight from college to the major league roster. And
yeah, not too many.
Mike Leake was the last one, I think, right?
Not too many 19-year-olds are playing major league baseball.
Right.
Happens.
Because usually when they're 18, they sign a contract to play minor league baseball. Anyway.
Well, the one prospect from Puerto Rico is only 17.
Right.
So he's, I think, the youngest player that was in the draft. He's in his senior year, but he's 17-year-old right now as of the draft.
And
so,
international players, which is coming up July 2nd, right? I think that's the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
They can be signed at 16, which I'm not sure I understand that. But I guess Latin players are more mature. I don't know. I remember when I was 14 in junior high school, and we had a Mexican guy. I remember his name was Mike, and he had basically a full mustache. He was 14. It was pretty impressive.
As a baseball player or just a mustache?
No, just a guy. He was just a guy.
Just a guy.
Yeah. I don't know whatever happened to Mike.
Was there anything that stood out to you in the draft with anything?
Well, I think it's interesting, this dilemma of, and you know, for those of you listening who don't know, John and I are in a fantasy baseball league where we select minor league players, and we always do a little mini draft right after the MLB draft. And McKay, right? Isn't that his name? Mm-hmm. What's that player's name? The
Brandon McKay?
Yeah, Brandon McKay. He's a possible two-way player, right? So he's mm-hmm. possibly a pitcher. I think people are hoping, they think that he's got an incredible bat, but if he's got an incredible bat and he's a first baseman, it's a bigger gamble. They think he's also an exceptional pitcher. So it's the question of, is he a pitcher? Is he a hitter? And this didn't work out very well for Casey Kelly a few years back, where the Red Sox and then traded to the Padres, where they were like, oh, no, you can be a shortstop. Sure. Oh, that didn't work out. Ooh, okay.
Well, the Rays drafted him as a first baseman. They kind of made that distinction that they were drafting him as a first baseman. Yeah. So we'll see how far his two-way playing capability or ability or the Rays' desire to have him in that capacity goes. I'm assuming that they're hoping that it's a bat that they drafted.
I mean, who knows? I know they have the Japanese guy, Sohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm.
And
he's a true two-way player.
Yeah.
But you know, can a player be a professional pitcher and a professional hitter? I don't know. Like, it just seems like you draft him to pitch and then he's got to do a bunch of work, and yeah, maybe he can also do hitting, but when you pitch, don't you need a day off afterwards? Like, because you just thrown your arm through a wall?
I think the one advantage that you would have, really, is that on the days that the person pitches, that they can also hit.
Yeah. But then don't they need, like, a day off afterwards?
You would think, yeah. Well, first base, probably not as much. But if you're in the outfield and, you know, there's a requirement to throw the ball. I mean, first baseman's, you know, the hardest throw they make is, what, back to the second baseman after an out? You know, strikeout or something. They really don't have to throw that hard. Maybe once a game there's a requirement for that. But first base would be the ideal position for a two-way player.
Yeah, I mean, my concern is that you say, you know, like, I think some scouts are saying about McKay that it's, and we're talking about so much about just one player, but it's really because wasn't Hunter Green a two-way player also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he so was as like, well.
Yeah, these two guys who are possibly two-way players, but it just hasn't really worked out. And so to think that suddenly there would be two, I mean, I don't know. It'd be exciting if there's a two-way player. You know, you get like Pat Van Diet, who pitches left and right-handed. Mm-hmm. I'm all for like weird baseball stuff. And then Christian Bethencourt?
Right. Is it Bethencourt? He's now catcher-turned-pitcher.
Catcher-pitcher guy. The Dodgers have a guy, Eibner. Mm-hmm. I think he's a, you know, an okay outfielder, you know, like a fourth or fifth outfielder. And also he can pitch, so if it's a blowout, he can come in and just eat some innings or whatever.
And the Twins have a player, and his name's slipping my mind right now, who has pitched, who is slotted as a, I think he's a catcher, but he also pitches. And he has pitched seven times this year, always in mop-up blowout roles, but he's been in seven games so far this year.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting, but is that worth a top five pick in the draft? I feel like if you're getting a very good hitter or a very good pitcher, cool, but don't you want like a great one of the or the other? I don't know if you get, I don't know if you say like, wow, look at this, it's a super player. Like, I don't think it's not like
I don't see him as that. I would not have picked him because I picked him in our draft. I would not have picked him if he was selected as a pitcher. So my fingers are crossed that because they selected him as a hitter. And that was named that was their intention was to develop him as a hitter, first baseman hitter versus a pitcher. That's the main reason why I took him, because I think he's more valuable as a hitter than he will be in the long run as a pitcher.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the only thing really interesting to me. I mean, I think, you know, I'm always interested to see what the big teams do, like the Dodgers and the Yankees mm-hmm. and the Red Sox, and, you know, they have more resources and stuff. And it's always interesting to me that, with all the resources that all these expensive, rich teams can have, expensive. I mean, I guess they're expensive, right? Like, if you wanted to go buy the Yankees, yes, it would be expensive.
Yeah.
So that's not the word I was looking for, but still appropriate. What do you figure the Yankees would be worth? $3 billion?
If the Marlins are going to go for $1.3
billion. Yeah. The Dodgers went for $2 billion. Yankees have got to be $3 billion, right?
Yeah. Plus also, just the brand alone. Yeah.
Isn't there stuff associated with them? Like, isn't the Yes Network part of
the team? The network is part of it. Yeah, there's a huge package that comes with that
maybe
brand.
Maybe $4 billion.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm not wrong that it's an expensive team, but I meant to say it's a rich team. And I feel like they have basically the same success rates as the teams with no money, which is, I think, is a very interesting aspect of baseball.
Well, and you look at, you know, what the Astros did. Astros aren't deep pocket team.
Right.
And they basically sucked for 4 years, lost 100 games 3 years in a row. And now they're the best team in baseball because they went the route of developing young talent.
Yeah.
And you don't opt to, I mean, the Yankees had been the kind of beacon in the night for spending more on talent than any other team in the league. They did it for 15 years. And then other teams, LA and Boston and Chicago started, well, not the Cubs as much, but LA and Boston definitely started playing that game as well. But the Yankees always went out and bought their teams for a long time under Steinbrenner.
Hey, and speaking of Yankees, though, right? A-Rod's nephew was drafted.
And he was drafted by the Marlins in the second round.
Yeah.
There's some some of the stuff that I was reading about him the other day was that there's a little bit of a, I guess not downside, but some concern over his level of consistency. I don't know if you read anything about him.
Oh, so we don't know if he's got the same steroid dealer as A-Rod? Is that?
He might not deliver.
Here's the thing. If you're a famous baseball player and you use steroids to help make yourself more successful, how do you tell your nephew, don't do it?
Well, you probably tell him, don't get caught.
How? I guess the question is, how do you get away with it?
Right. Well, I think that really what we've had this conversation a handful of times is really what it comes down to. As soon as you get in the system, and if there's other people in front of you that have a chance to move up more quickly, or people behind you who are using and pass you in the process, there's this internal pressure to do something to move yourself through the system and up into the major league. So there's a ton of pressure at the minor league level to outperform who's in front of you on the depth chart.
Yeah, and this guy is hooked up because he knows A-Rod, and A-Rod knows the good steroids.
Right. And he's probably learned a thing or two about masking, too.
Maybe a little dial it down on the obstruction of justice, because I think that's where they really nailed him. It wasn't necessarily the steroid use so much as lying and trying to get other people to lie, and
the hissy fits, all that stuff too. Yeah,
if you're going to use steroids, just use them, man. And if you get busted, just take
your medicine.
Take your medicine. Come back in 80 games. Say you won't do it again, and find a new guy to help you mask your steroids.
And if I was his nephew, I'd try to stay as far away from the A-Rod brand as possible, and just be your own player.
Yeah, get generic brand steroids. New A-Rod brand steroids.
Speaking of muscular power, and not necessarily saying that he's uses steroids, but Aaron Judge.
Don't judge him.
Aaron Judge juiced the longest home run since tracking began. I think it was just a day or two ago.
So you and I have talked about this a bunch of times, how we were wrong about this guy, and we keep kind of thinking that they're going to find holes in his swing, and he's on his way to a triple crown. Like, this would be, I mean, he won't win the batting average stuff, because his batting average on balls in play is too high. It can't stay that high. So it's going to come down. But even if he was just an average player the rest of the year, he's easily the rookie of the year.
Yes.
And he could potentially, because Trout will have missed 6 weeks, he could potentially be the MVP.
Well, I just put it this way, you know, that he's got a leg up on Trout, even if war dictates otherwise, because the Yankees are the complete surprise. No one expected this fast. They were saying maybe next year they would be competing for a wild card, and the year after, when they go out and get Bryce Harper, they'll be back in the mix as a perennial playoff team.
Yeah.
But if he winds up being the leader of, you know, baseball's iconic franchise back into the postseason.
Oh, yeah. John, sorry, this isn't like Jed is picking war wins above replacement. Like, if Mike Trout catches him in wins above replacement, Mike Trout's not winning the MVP.
He's going to have an all-world year and get the Angels into the playoffs.
Way past Judge. I just meant it's going to be Judge or someone else. But Judge is right there, even if he just has an average season the rest of the way. If he keeps going like this, of course he's the MVP.
Yeah.
Mike Trout or no Mike Trout. But yeah, no, I'm definitely like last year, what was it? Kershaw had a better wins above replacement than any other starting pitcher, but he did miss 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't win the Cy Young if you miss 2 months.
No.
That's, you just can't. And he shouldn't, and he didn't. And so this year, if Trout misses, even if only, he only misses 6 weeks, and he winds up even a little ahead of Judge in wins above replacement, I think Judge wins. The question is, the statement was more that, like, Judge is in this. If he, even if he just goes back to being an ordinary guy.
Right. And, yeah, he's been a big reason for the Yankees' resurgent.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, unbelievably, no one would have guessed that Tanaka was going to tank the way he has after his all-world.
I mean, it's in his name training. For crying out loud. Like, all tank, it's in there. It's Tanaka. It's like, it's almost like he's taunting you. Like, you know, I'm gonna tank on
but
this.
But there's Japanese nobody in the Tanaka baseball. There is nobody in the baseball world at the end of spring training that would have said Tanaka was going to have the bad, awful first 2.5 months, and that CC Sabathia was going to be the ace of that staff.
Well,
nobody.
I feel like the ace is right now is Severino.
But Sabathia's numbers are incredible for where he is in his career.
The last month, but we'll get later into that, into the are you buying it.
There he is. I didn't even notice that. He's on the list for are you buying it.
Yeah. Pineda and Severino have been, Severino, like, I guess he found that third pitch he was looking for, because all of a sudden now he's an ace. I was in a fantasy baseball league. Someone gave me him as a throw-in on another trade, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And he wound up better than the player that I gave away. It's like, he's just been incredible. He's striking people out. He's controlling the ball. Like, he's showing good control with his pitches. It's really, and of course, the bullpen, they were already set up to be dominant. They were dominant last year. Then they got Chapman back, even though, of course, they've been missing Chapman for, hell, they haven't even really needed a closer for the last month.
They've been scoring so many runs. I think,
yeah, like, what's his name? Who's the replacement? Betances, right?
Uh-huh.
I think in the last, since Chapman's been out, I think he's got three saved and his saves and has pitched 4 innings in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Not a necessity at this point when they're scoring as many runs.
They've been destroying their opponents. Now, granted, it's some pretty terrible pitching they've been up against, but they have been destroying them. I mean, they have more, what is it? They have more home runs. Their outfield has more home runs than was it every other team? Like, or like half the league or something. Like, they have so many home runs. It's and runs scored, and it's so crazy.
Yeah, their differential is plus 116.
Yeah, and they're moving, it's moving up. Like, they had 2 games in a row where they scored 14 runs.
Yeah, yeah. They've been,
now, again, that was against the Orioles, and the Orioles are all kinds of messed up on the starting pitching front. But, and their bullpen is falling apart, though. That they're going to get some relief soon with the relief for the relief, I guess, right? with Zach Britton supposed to be close to coming back. So, but it's been incredible, and Judge is a huge part of it. And Sanchez has been good. You know, everyone, he's been as good as basically last year. Starling Marte has been incredible. He'll probably regress a little bit. Didi Gregorius, I mean, but like literally everyone out there except for Chase Headley has been playing so far above their heads. But you can play a whole year like that. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the numbers, and again, we have Hicks on there too, the other Aaron. We have him on Are You Buying It? These are all sustainable numbers. There's no reason to think this team is like going to pull like some epic meltdown in the second half of the season.
Right now, they're in the top one or two of almost every offensive and pitching category out there. So, yeah, they're the best.
I think May they scored the most runs and gave up the fewest runs.
Yeah, that'll get you into the playoffs.
That'll get you a lot of wins. Though I will say they don't have quite as many wins as I would think that they would have.
Well, they had a slow start, and they've, you know, and I would say if you throw out the first 20 games, their record is by far the best in baseball since then.
Yeah, still, there are no Astros.
No.
I still would take the Astros in a series, but because I think the Astros lineup is a little bit deeper, and
Yeah, they're going to suffer a little bit with all the pitching injuries that they have right now.
Again, this is assuming that McCullers and Keuchel come back from injury.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think they have as good a bullpen, the Astros, though not so much on the end. Obviously, the Yankees have the end there. Anyway.
But there will be out a big-time player in the deadline, trade deadline. They will be looking to add another starter,
yeah,
for sure.
You would think.
Yeah. Quintana's name keeps coming up. Garrett Cole's name keeps coming up. So they'll be in the sweepstakes, I think, for either one or both. Although both of those pitchers have been less than stellar so far this season.
Yeah, I think Quintana looked okay in his last start, but just five innings. So,
yep, and Cole's been up and down. Quintana had a horrible start. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right. Quintana had Cole had a very good start his last start.
I know he got roughed up against the Marlins, and then he pitched. Yeah. I don't know what he did after that.
The next game, no, against the Rockies, of all people, who've been hitting on the road, and he shut him down. I think he threw like eight innings against him. I could be mistaken.
No, that's good.
I'm a little out of it this week. Well, let's roll through some of these because we've been jibber-jabber.
Okay. Scherzer, third fastest to 2,000 career Ks.
Yes. Incredible guy. I wish, you know, the thing that makes Scherzer not great is the home runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he gives up the home runs because he's constantly throwing the ball for strikes. I don't know. He gives up too many home runs.
Yeah.
He's like an amazing pitcher, right? He's top five pitcher in the league every year. Awesome.
I don't know his statistics enough to say that he relies too much on the fastball, but if you're pounding the zone all the time just with heat for seven innings, eight innings, you're gonna eventually get tagged.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look at pitchers who are the most effective are the ones who throw hard and also the great off-speed stuff to completely fool the batters. So you can't just, unless you're Nolan Ryan, I mean, you just can't throw heat.
Ryan wasn't that great. He just got a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, and Ryan had a great curveball, too, especially as he got older. His
Walked too many guys, though.
Yeah, early in his career. Later in his career, not as bad. But early in his career, he would strike out eight and walk eight.
But you remember Scherzer was kind of a throw-in in the original trade that he was in? It was like Curtis Granderson to the Mets or to the Yankees or something, and then it was like something to the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks, the big catch was supposed to be the Schlereth.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
From the from the Diamondbacks over to the Tigers, and he cratered, and Scherzer wound up being the... Because people were not sure if Scherzer could be a full-time starting pitcher with his mechanics or something.
Yeah, he's proven that to be
I think he has proven... I'm nitpicking, right? Because I think he's such an incredible pitcher, and you know he's thrown almost no hitters and 18, 19 strikeout games. Those are incredible. But every now and then, he'll just go up there, and like Freddie Galvis will tee off on him. And like, what's going on here?
He had back-to-back home runs. Was it earlier this season?
Keon Broxton takes him yard. Like, Keon Broxton, Max. What are you doing?
It was just a letdown. A little bit of a mental letdown.
Maybe that's his thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Let's move on to the Madison Bumgarner update. According to manager Bruce Bochy, he's letting it go off the mound in his rehab.
Look, obviously, we don't want to rush this guy, one of the best pitchers in the league.
There's no reason to bring him back this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, like
it's a lost season.
Bring him, you know, like let him pitch so that he doesn't get unused to pitching, right? Because he's still got to put the innings on his arm, you know, just so that the arm... You know, whatever, but take it easy on him and no need to bring him back and pitch him every fifth day. And like, this is a lost season for the Giants. But I always like seeing injured guys come back, especially the big name guys. The league is better when, you know, Bumgarner and Syndergaard and so forth are playing because those are the best players and we want to see the best players. And this year has been just so riddled with injuries.
But on the flip side, too, as much as you'd like to see the best players perform at the highest level, it's also fun to see unknowns emerge, or I won't say necessarily unknowns, but players that are developing, get better, rise to the occasion, and even teams to that extent. So you have, you know, teams like the Astros and the Yankees and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks all have kind of lifted up to a whole nother level. You know, this year, which is, I think it's good for baseball.
Yeah, look, I enjoy that stuff. And I think that again, like, I still think, you know, a lot of these teams, you know, they get off to these starts and it's, they do regress to the, you know, to the mean. And you see, you know, you see the Red Sox, there they are in, you know, whatever, second place, but just a couple games behind the Yankees, and the Dodgers now, whatever, a game out at first or whatever, bouncing back and forth between first and whatever. Those are the better teams and they're going to wind up at the top. And the, you're going to see the Diamondbacks fall back a little bit because they're really not that good. And, but it's, you know, seeing new players like Robbie Ray with the Diamondbacks is a great example. Like, I don't know if he's a star yet, but he's, if he can keep the walks down, which he's been doing, like, he strikes out so many guys, that's always exciting to watch. You know, and obviously, you know, players get older and then they aren't the best players in the league, but I like when there is as many of the best players in the league as possible. Not for fantasy baseball purposes. I don't really care. I'm in first place in all my leagues. What do I care? He said, jinxing his season. Here comes the crash. But I just think it's better for the game.
Yeah, it's more enjoyable. But, you know, with this 10-day DL thing, a lot of players are shuttling back and forth between active and inactive.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I think the Astros put Lance McCullers on the DL for some lower back pain. Like, would they have put him on the DL for 15 days and make him miss two or three starts? I don't think so. But you put him on the 10-day, he misses one start, and then you push back a day. I think it's, I mean, obviously the Dodgers are the ones exploiting the system, where they actually have like a 6-man rotation and they just send down the sixth pitcher and then alternate whatever, those are the rules and they can do whatever they want with them. But yeah, I like seeing great players come back, even if it's on a team I don't like the Giants, and a player who's a little bit too much of a red ass for my liking, like Madison Bumgarner.
Speaking of great players coming back, how about that Cota Glover?
You know what's funny was at the beginning of the season, I was really excited about him.
So was I. I wanted to trade for him.
As a closer of the future, you know, like the next, whatever, Eric Gagne, or the next, you know, Craig Kimbrell. Mm-hmm. Then it was like, oh, no, he's not going to be the closer. We're going to have Sean Kelly be the closer. And then Sean Kelly was terrible. And then I want to do a whole segment on this bullpen, but this whole Nationals bullpen, we'll just skip that segment because we're running long here anyway. But the whole bullpen has been such a mess. And then they're like, oh, we'll get Mitch Albers, ladies and gentlemen. Mitch Albers is going to be the closer. And, of course, as soon as they give him the closing job, he goes out and gives up two or three runs because he's Mitch Albers.
Matt Albers.
You know what? Proving my point, John. He's freaking Matt Albers, a.k.a. Mitch Albers.
He might as well be Mitch. He might want to change it to Mitch just to go under the radar.
But yeah, it's like, oh, look, he's at a career high strikeout rate. Oh, look, yeah, he'll be our closer. Look, Nationals, trade for a closer.
Right, and Matt Albers hasn't met a sandwich. He hasn't liked
I love those guys, though. I love big dudes like that who just get up there and it's like, The mayonnaise is practically flying off their hands.
He's
one
of those guys that it looks like his pants are going to fall down at any minute. But they were saying great things about him the other night before he gave up a home run to Flowers to blow the game against the
Braves. Tyler Flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, and I think the Nats were up 9-4 or 9-3 in that game and wound up losing 11-9.
Yeah, and they've had a few of those.
Yeah,
between them and the Rangers, their bullpens have been just awful. I mean,
they're just lucky that the Mets have been, you know, imploded this year. And
yeah,
that's
exactly they're the best team in the National League if they had a bullpen. And I don't know if they're the best team in the National League. I don't know if they're the third best team in the National League if they don't get that bullpen sorted out, because it's the worst. Like, they have below league average save percentage. That means they blow as. And it's just a little bit below. But when you're the best team in the league, you should be above average on, you know, blown saves. Because that's like, you know, you were winning, and then now you're not winning anymore.
And it gets to be frustrating, too, for your everyday players to see something like that.
Yeah, it's a mental effect on these guys. Like, well, doesn't matter if we get a lead because they're going to blow a 5-run lead in the ninth.
Yeah, it's like the Giants last year where they blew 24 saves last year. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. And a team can't overcome that. There's only so many losses that you can dole out to the other teams, and well, you're just gonna, it's just, it's less than what they're giving back.
The name that I heard, strangely enough, as a possible trade partner would be the Giants sending Melanson back.
Oh, they're not taking Melanson back.
You don't think so?
No, I think they're going to go get like Robertson.
Well, that, they've been talking about that since, you know, the season started, and they haven't pulled the trigger. Dusty's probably saying, "Hold on, I think Matt's going to come along. Let's give Matt another shot. Let's give him another shot."
No, Dusty's saying Mitch is going to be just fine.
Mitch is good. Mitch is good.
No, here's what they need to do. Look, you go to the White Sox and you say, "Give us David Robertson," and they have like three like really good setup guys. The White Sox, for as bad as their season is, their bullpen's actually pretty cool.
Pretty good, yeah.
And you get, was it Tommy Canley or something like that? And you get, so you get David Robertson and Tommy Canley, and you give up not one of your absolute best pieces. So no Victor Robles. Maybe Juan Soto gets you both of those guys. They don't need that many outfielders coming up, do they? Anyway, make the deal, Nationals. Yeah,
they will.
It's getting gross.
I don't think you have to worry about it. I think, but anyway, the story was that Coda Glover got hurt in the shower. And I don't know if it was in the shower at home or was in the shower at their facility or on the road or whatever it was. But apparently hurt his back, didn't say anything about it, went out and pitched horribly, and then said something about it.
Yeah, I'm going to say one thing, John. I don't know if you remember this about pitching. And I only pitched into my mid-teens. You can't pitch with a sore back.
No.
The back is a very crucial part of twisting your body like that and hurling a baseball.
Yep.
But again, he's a young guy, so he's trying to not, I guess, wuss out or whatever.
Well, and I think part of it was he got the closer job back. So he was hurt early in the year, got moved out of that role. He's been on the DL twice now this season. Yeah. And he had the spot going into the season, and he got hurt. And then he was on the DL, and I think he sent him down to the minors for a little bit for some so he can get some work. And then he came back up, eventually got the role back, and then gets hurt. And he obviously didn't want to give it up, but yeah, it's going to be a drama until they go out and make a move to get somebody. So you know, as the Mets turns into what the frick with the Washington Nationals bullpen. So we just did that segment to a certain extent. So that was the new segment in the middle of headlines.
What the frick?
So let's keep moving through the headlines.
Yeah, Jameson
Taillon back after giving up some balls in first start since surgery. And
look, he was controlling the balls very well in this first start.
He did a good job.
So he was diagnosed with testicular cancer, got a surgery. Apparently it's looking good. I mean, I don't know that if the surgery is looking good. I'm certainly no expert, and I certainly am not familiar with Jameson Taillon's testicles. However, and he came back, and he looked like his old self. It was great. Yeah, but I think he only pitched 5 innings, right?
It was a short outing. But he was back much sooner than anybody expected.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. Good sign.
It's always good. You know, again, great young player. I don't know what the Pirates are doing. All of a sudden, Andrew McCutchen is hitting. So he's got 4 home runs in the last week. He's up to 11. He's got 6 steals. He's got the power. He's got the, I don't know, like this team could. It's,
you look at that division right
the
now.
Wild
the Pirates
card
are in
is such
last.
A mess.
The interesting thing is that in the National League, the last place team in the National League is only 5.5 games out of a wild card. The last place team in the American League is like 18 games out.
Right.
So it's wide open. And the fact that
in the National League.
I mean, the Pirates are in last place, but they're only 4.5 games out of first, 5.5 games out of first.
Yeah.
So they got a shot. I mean,
and if Cole keeps pitching like he pitched last game, not like he had the previous three. You got Taillon, you got Cole, you got Ivan Nova or Ivan Nova. I don't know how you pronounce names.
And they sent Glasnow down because he's been awful.
Oh, they finally sent him down.
Yeah, he of the seven ERA north of 7.
It could be a heck of a closer.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, he's obviously not done by any means, and he'll be back up. But it's more a matter of getting him straightened out.
Yeah, I just don't think he can do, like, I saw him pitch, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and he was dominant for three innings, and then he just imploded. And maybe he's a one-time through the lineup kind of guy. So yeah, that makes him a closer.
Yeah.
You know, 100 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour closer. That could work.
Okay, so the last item you have on here I know nothing about. So is this a federal bill aimed at halting? I haven't even heard anything about it. So
yeah.
A bill aimed at halting taxpayer-funded stadiums in all sports?
It just said stadiums. I assume it means all sports.
Interesting.
Which I'm all for. I think these rich guys with all their money and their 1% and their whatever. I just, to get public to pay for stuff that, like, just charge more for tickets.
Right.
Or just spend some of the money that you're making from the tickets. Or
know that at the end of the day, the team that you bought for peanuts in the beginning that you're going to sell, like Loria paid $115 million for the Marlins, is going to get a $1 billion payday plus on that. I think you made up your money right there.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why these teams get the public to pay for these stadiums is because they can.
And the local governments are dumb enough to let them be seduced by it.
Yeah, because the numbers that they've run is basically there's no value to a city, right? There's no actual financial value.
It's not a number. You can't put a number on it. You can put community pride. You can measure pride. You can measure the impact of winning a World Series or a Super Bowl. Well, not even a Super Bowl because you don't play it in your hometown. But when you have the playoffs in your town, you know, it builds up pride. When you have the championship, there's a longer run. But unless you're doing it every year, you're not going to see that incremental bump.
And most teams don't win every year.
Right. Most teams are being funded by the pool of the luxury tax.
Yeah. But I think politicians, you know, are not immune to the, well, he let the Sonics get away.
Right.
And so that becomes like, it's more like they don't necessarily, it's not a positive, it's just not a negative.
Well, it's a business deal. And as long as people are willing to go for it to keep a team in town.
Giants paid for their own stadium, didn't they?
Some teams have done that. Have done that.
Staples Center, I think, is self-paid. I mean, I think they get a discount on like the property tax, and I don't have any problem with that. Yeah. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, some of them are like $1 land lease a year for something like that, and they build on the property. So, yeah. Plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, my problem is getting the public to pay, you know, whatever, 0.25% more tax on everything.
Right.
And all of that money literally just goes for a stadium. But first of all, not everyone wants a stadium.
Well, the tourism taxes are killer out here in Seattle. I mean, you're paying, you know, car taxes and hotel, rental car and hotel taxes are funding the stadium, you know, both stadiums out here.
Yeah.
It's a crazy amount of money.
And, you know, there are rich people in Seattle. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, there's a few. Quite a few, actually. Let's move on to starting nine.
Good.
So in honor of the MLB draft, you decided to come up with 10 players with some pretty amazing names. And it's just because their names are cool.
Yeah. So usually what I do, I try to change it up for this one. Usually what I do is I find something like, oh, we did last week. Oh, or was it last week? College.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, they look players with college sounding names or like whatever. Right. And this time I just thought, you know what? Let's go through and let's just see who's got the awesome names. Now, we're not going to do like the Key and Peele thing where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm Jive Wo Jamamaba or whatever. That's their bit. These are real names, people. And these are the best names in the Major League Baseball amateur draft. You ready?
Shoot.
The first one, best one. Normally, I save the best for last, but Jake Berger.
Okay.
Best name. You got Berger in your name. Also, have you seen him?
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. He looks like he's a burger.
And I'm sure no one calls him Jake. It's Berger. Hey, Berger.
Right. It's probably Berger. Or Berg, right?
Yeah, Berg.
Or like, you know, they call him like quarter pounder or like double double. Hey, double double. Depending on whether you're a five guys or an in and out guy.
Right, right.
Maybe they call him in and out.
Could be.
Or maybe they call him Wahlberg. Who knows? What's the one in Texas that everyone likes? Whataburger.
Whataburger, yeah.
So if he hits a home run, it's like, ah, Whataburger.
There you go. New nickname.
Yeah, free burgers. Whataburger. All right, next one. Edmund American. Okay. Right? We're going to make American. Edmund great again.
He's got a political career ahead of him.
Yeah, right? And anyway, it's basically like America or American, but with two A's at the end. American. That's a real name.
Like James Caan.
Like James Caan, but James Caan is American, so, you know.
Yes, he is.
But yeah. But I think the younger people will know better Scott Caan, who you know from the new Hawaii Five-0, and also from such movies as Enemy of the State.
And the Oceans franchise.
And the Oceans franchise. A smaller man on screen you will not find.
Yeah, he's diminutive.
Hervé Villechaize. Smaller man than Scott Caan.
I thought that was the next player on the list.
No, that would be great though, wouldn't it? He used to live in my neighborhood when I was growing up.
Hervé?
Yeah. All right, next name. Damond LaFond.
Oh, that's a beautiful name.
Isn't that wonderful? I would move him up three rounds just for that name. Damond LaFond. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what any of these guys do in the sport. Now, I know Jake Berger is a third baseman. But I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I just looked at the best names. Some of these are pitchers and some of them are hitters. How about that? Does that help?
That's good. That's clear.
This is fun because this sounds like it could be a little bit like a Bond villain. Boyd van der Kooi.
Okay.
Or maybe you know what? It's like a henchman. That's like a henchman. That's not a Bond villain. All right. Next one. This is the most delightful name. Desmond Chumley.
Chumley. Oh, I can't help but think, Tennessee Tuxedo and Chumley. The old cartoons.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. We're expanding on it. Okay, now this guy knows a pitcher because I put him on the list because his name is Jansen Junk.
That's perfect. He better not be a fire thrower. A fireballer. He's got to be an off-speed guy.
Yeah, he's got to be the guy from Major League, the old-timer with his Vaseline and his...
Right.
Right, he's got this guy's 22 years old. He's Jansen Junk. He's got the emery board hidden in his belt. He's doing everything he can. All right. Okay, next one. AJ Bumpass.
Bumpass?
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's Bumpus, right? Mm-hmm. You remember the Bumpuses from Christmas Story?
Mm-hmm.
The Bumpuses owned the dogs that ate their Christmas meal. The Bumpuses! You all Bumpuses! You've seen Christmas Story, right, John?
I have, yes.
Okay, because we've had this problem before. Anyway, yeah, Bumpus, which is a great name in the first place. Second of all, Christmas Story tie-in.
Nicely done.
Okay, now here is a great name that I don't know what movie it is, but I would go see this movie. If there was a movie, it's probably from the Guardians of the Galaxy spinoff. That's probably what it is, all right? Zebulon Vermilion.
That's not a real name, is it?
That's a real name.
Zebulon?
Zebulon Vermilion.
Wow.
Yeah. Next two, and this is, I'm going to wrap this up with these two guys. I guess that's whatever, a double team, right? Whatever. We got Jeter Downs and Maddox Conger.
Both named after players, former players.
You got to assume, right? That's got to be named after baseball
Jeter definitely
players.
Was. I know he was.
Well, yeah, of course. Also, or maybe the guy his parents were just fans of guys that got laid with hot chicks.
It's true.
We hope our son can someday bang supermodels.
They're fans of the gift bag.
Exactly.
Right.
And then we have Maddox Conger after, I'm assuming, not Greg Maddox, but...
Mike Maddox.
Mike Maddox, yeah.
Right. The pitcher
great
coach.
Pitching coach, right? Hey.
Was a pitcher with the Cubs for a while.
Yeah. He did okay.
But he was not, he was no Mike Maddox, or he was no Greg Maddox.
He was no Greg Maddox.
Pudgy Greg Maddox.
Hall of Fame. For those of you who don't know, turn the podcast off right now. If you don't know who Greg Maddox is...
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, bye. All right, that's all I got.
Okay, so we're going to... We already did the new segment, so we'll move beyond that to...
Right,
are
the new
you
segment,
buying it?
What the Frick? Because we don't want to use bad language. I mean, sometimes it slips out, but when we're naming a segment, So this was my idea, was we do a segment about like something that just is going on in the game right now that just needs to be, we just need to hash it out.
Right.
And I feel like we half hashed it out with the Coda Glover injury thing. But in hindsight, I probably should have just pulled the Coda Glover story and left it for this segment.
Into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All good. All
right. So let's go on to the next thing.
Are you buying it?
Are you buying it?
And we can't mention our standby other than the fact that he went under the knife.
Yeah.
Little knee surgery.
Devin Travis. First of all, if you've got a disabled spot on your team, you got to buy Devin Travis.
Especially if somebody in your league dumps him.
If someone in your league dumps him and it's a low price contract, pick him up.
He'll come back better than ever because he just got a little cleaning going on.
Exactly. A little knee scope.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at some of these guys. Corey Dickerson. That's two Tampa Bay Rays there. Oh, wait, and two Yankees. Sorry. Oh, look, and then two Orioles.
Wow.
Wow. Not just the East Coast bias. I've turned into East Coast bias guy.
Yeah, John. This is the AL East update.
I apologize. Well, we'll zoom through these. Corey Dickerson finally hitting like he's not. Look, when he was in Coors Field, everyone thought, oh, this guy's a product of Coors Field. But he actually hit pretty well on the road. And then so when he went to Tampa Bay last year, when he was traded for Jake McGee, because the Rockies didn't need another sort of mediocre outfielder who can hit, the Rays got him to be a DH. And the guy was not very good last year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether it was just like an adjustment period or he was trying too hard or whatever. But this year he has been hitting the snot out of the ball. And on base and, you know, not crazy like, oh, this is going to come back to earth numbers. All sustainable numbers, I'm buying. Corey Dickerson.
All in for the year, rest
I'm
of the year?
I'm not all in. For the rest of the year, I'm buying those numbers. Okay. I think he keeps it up. I think he doubles that home run total the rest of the way. I don't know why they have him batting so high in the lineup, but now with Malik Smith out there, maybe they'll lower him a little bit. I don't know. But he was leading off a lot of games. It's kind of strange.
What about Chris Archer?
Did you know that Chris Archer is the second best pitcher in baseball this year?
I did not.
That is shocking to me.
I had no idea.
A second best pitcher in baseball.
And yeah, what's that based on?
Well, it's war. It's wins above replacement. But also it's like you look at his peripherals, like how well people are hitting the ball off of him, how many people he's striking out. He's striking out 11.5 guys every 9 innings. I didn't know Chris Archer could do that. Where did this guy come from? He's been great. I'm buying. I love him. Now, maybe not third best pitcher in the league best, but he's been great.
Okay.
That's what I have to say. I'm buying him too.
Buying him. Well, he was a consensus pick a year ago for the 2016 season as a favorite for the Cy Young and had a horrible season.
Had a very bad season.
He racked up a lot of losses. Some of it was hard luck, but I think he lost like 19 games, right?
Yeah.
It was horrible.
No, and he's one of those guys where, yes, last year people thought he was going to be great and he wasn't. And then this year people thought he'd be okay and he's been great.
Right.
So who else is like that is Aaron Hicks. And you know who else I'm buying is Aaron Hicks.
Aaron Hicks.
You know who else is buying Aaron Hicks? The Yankees. They told Jacoby Ellsbury, when you come back your concussion thing, you're not the starting outfielder.
Yeah.
Hicks has been hitting the ball hard. Mm-hmm. He's been getting on base. He doubled his walk rate. He doubled it from last year. Now, granted, last year was almost half of what he had done the year before. But he must have been injured last year, right? His numbers were bad last year.
And how old is he?
Oh, I think he's like a 26, 27 guy.
So he's not he's hitting his peak
that's his,
years.
That's his peak
still.
Year. 26, 27 is his peak year. So I mean, if there was only the technology existed where we could look up quickly how old Aaron Hicks is.
It's coming to me.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was thinking about Aaron Hicks. And by the way, having two Aarons, he's 27 years old.
27. Okay.
He's 28 this October. I know a lot of guys, you know, fantasy baseball guys who were really hot for Aaron Hicks last year. They're like, oh, he's going to Yankee Stadium. And then he just was terrible.
And he wasn't drafted in our fantasy league.
Yeah.
I picked him up off of waivers.
That's right. You got him. That's right. Yeah. And you'll keep him all year, and he's got a low price, and you might want to keep him the next season. He's been that
we'll
good.
We'll see. We'll see how he does. And he's been a huge benefactor of the injuries that they had and has been able to fill in. And his, you know, it's one of those stories where you get the time, you do well. Now what do we do?
Exactly. Like Conforto across town. Right. Mm-hmm. Right, Conforto was like, "Oh, he's the fourth outfielder. He's the fourth outfielder.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Now it's, you know, if everyone ever was healthy on that team, Jay Bruce and Cespedes and Conforto and Granderson goes to the bench. That's the breaks.
Okay, let's go back to Sabathia. We were talking about him a little bit earlier.
Yeah, no, Sabathia did this last year. He had a month where he was great. I guarantee you, in the next couple weeks, he got injured last night, right? They pulled him early because of some infield play at first or something like that. So he only pitched four innings. But I'm telling you, it's Sabathia. He's gonna implode. He always does. Enjoy it while you can, Yankees fans, and be thankful you have Severino and Pineda and what's the other guy they got? That Jordan Montgomery's pretty decent too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Chica wants to join the conversation. Hi, Chica. Hi. My dog wants to get in on this. Anyway,
he's got an opinion on CC Sabathia.
I'm going to tell you right now, my dog does not like CC Sabathia.
No. So you're
big
renting?
Aaron Judge fan though.
Are you renting Sabathia?
No.
Nope. Or are you no?
No, because I don't want to be that guy. It's like the guys who picked up Edinson Volquez, who was like, "Oh wow, he pitched a no hitter. Wow, what a great pitcher he is now all of a sudden."
Right. Two good games, then he got ripped today.
Yeah. And that's Edinson Volquez.
Right.
Like, see, no one changes this far into their career. No one changes.
Well, I think everybody was, you know, surprised by the no hitter, and then the next outing was pretty dominant. It's like, ooh, something's going on here.
Yeah.
And then he imploded today.
Yeah. Then it was like, oh wait, I'm Edinson Volquez. Okay.
But you know, there was talk about, you know, him as, oh well, now that he's you know, put himself, you know, back into the headlines, is he a trade candidate if the Marlins are bailing this year?
And yeah, I mean, if you're a team that needs someone to eat up innings, Volquez would do that.
Mm-hmm.
He is an innings eater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of eaters, Sabathia, anyway.
So what about J.J. Hardy?
So J.J. Hardy, this is ridiculous. We mentioned him a little bit last week because we were talking about
Bad shortstops.
Who could take Zach Cozart from the Reds that would actually be able to use him? And I ran the numbers this week. J.J. Hardy is the worst hitter in baseball.
That's awesome.
That he's the worst hitter. You know what they should do is frickin' dump him and move Machado back to short.
Yeah.
Machado can play short. That's the harder position to fill than third base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could probably add a bigger bat there, too.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm out on Hardy. I've been out on Hardy for a couple of years. He was a sneaky good
25-30
home run guy who could play some solid
90 RBI guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's just trash. Like, when you're 2.5 months into the season and you're the worst hitter in the league, like his weighted runs created plus, which is basically weighs everyone's offensive numbers, factors in where the fields they play and the league that they're in and the competition. He is at 43% of league average.
So is that the new Mendoza line metric?
That's the Hardy line? I would assume that 50 is the Mendoza line, and Hardy is below the Mendoza line. The modern Mendoza line. How about that? For those who don't know, the Mendoza line, that's the 200 batting average. Named after Dave Mendoza. No, I don't know.
I think it was Mario Mendoza.
Sure.
He played actually for the Mariners back in the day.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Did he gift them with his...
I think it was the Brewers, too, but I think it was... Well, we could look that up and bring it all up next
week. Actually, that I don't care about.
Right, I didn't think you did. So, last but not least on the Are You Buying It, Kevin Gausman?
I am... This guy is another trash. Here's the thing. The Orioles pitching staff, all they have to do is be okay starting pitchers, and the bullpen will take care of everything else. But if the bullpen starts falling apart, then I think that the starting pitchers start putting too much pressure on themselves to be better, to go longer into games, and they're just not that good. And, you know, this is the pitching staff that kind of everyone thought the Yankees had, just sort of like trashy guys at the end of their careers or just failed
that
prospects.
Are competitive because they've had a good bullpen.
Right. Now, I still like Dylan Bundy. I bought him. We talked about him. Am I buying him? I'm still buying him. I like his stuff. He looks great. But, Gausman and Tillman and, I mean, who's that other guy they're throwing out there? It's just...
Well, Tillman's been horrendous.
Oh, it's... And they're just getting hammered. You know, whatever. It's the American League East, so it's going to be a little harder than... But these guys are just getting destroyed, and the bullpen is not helping. And at this point, you kind of just got to stay away from everyone that's not in that elite tier, you know, like Zach Britton or who's the other guy? I just said his name. Dylan Bundy, even Brock's Candy,
mm-hmm.
right? Isn't there a candy called Brock Bratches?
Brock.
I remember.
Brock.
I remember. Yeah. Brock. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Brock. I remember Brock. As a young lad, every now and then grazing at the local grocery store, the Brock's from the bins,
the Brock's right? candies.
Yeah, yep. Like, oops, mm-hmm. oop, this goes right into my pocket here. Whoops. So Brock's, anyway, he's been good but not great. And
great last year. You know, and they had a great, you know, he was a setup for Britton, yeah. And they had a great 1-2 punch at the end of the game. And
they had a 1-2-3-4 punch at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like Michael Givens last year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Why do we even know that name, John?
Yeah, why do you know that?
I'm scared for myself, John. Anyway, no, I'm not buying it. I'm out on all Orioles.
Okay.
And you know what? And speaking of Orioles, Chris Davis just got injured, and Manny Machado's underperforming unless he's playing the Red Sox, who he's really upset at this year.
Yes, that drama will continue.
Look at his numbers not versus the Red Sox.
Not as good.
Not as good. He's killing the Red Sox, and everyone else is just rolling over. He's like J.J. Hardy. Okay, maybe not. That's the no greater insult in baseball these days.
I don't need any Hardys out here. Hardly. We need a lot of judges. We need judges, not Hardys.
Judge.
Okay, extra innings. Last
extra
but not least.
Innings, ladies and gentlemen. We're almost done.
What's going on outside the world of baseball?
I feel like, just if I might intervene or interject, I don't know where my words are today. I have the best words usually.
The best words.
The best words, bigly. And I feel like this is already an extra inning game.
It
this
is.
This podcast. But maybe it's just like a Red Sox-Yankees game, and
we're,
that's why it's
we're
gone
right
so
in the same. We're ballpark right. Where we've been.
We're so ballpark. We're okay. I'm not going to beat myself up.
So first on the list, we've got the two, the end of the NHL and NBA seasons with the clinches for the Warriors and Penguins this week.
Right. So the Penguins win the Stanley Cup again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically no one outside Pennsylvania cared. And it's really sad. Like, it's a great sport. I don't know if Pittsburgh versus Nashville is the matchup that...
Yeah, not what NBC wanted.
Pulls
any
in
means.
Anyone's interest at all. Like, were people in Tennessee even aware that was going on?
Oh, it was... Tennessee, the Nashville, the big news there is that they sold out every home game and playoff game this season. So the Tennessee fans are all in on the Preds.
Well, let's say the Nashville fans. I know some people in Tennessee. I don't know that the excitement for the Preds for Smashville extends throughout Tennessee. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know if I'm a guy who's like advertising for a hockey game that I want to advertise, spend money on the Penguins, who like, aren't they done winning championships? It's like the Patriots. No one wants the Patriots to win any more championships. I'm a Patriots fan. And I'm kind of like, shouldn't someone else win at this point?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I just want the Patriots to win. But I at least understand that other people would not be interested in that. But at least the Patriots have someone on their team that people can root against. People hate the Patriots. No one cares about the I almost called them the Steelers. No one cares about the Penguins. Hell, if it was the Steelers on ice, I would care more.
Steelers on ice. Could be a comedy. Or a musical.
And then the Warriors win. And by the way, I heard this term the other day. It's called a gentleman's sweep. Where you win the first three, The other team wins one, and then you finish them off with the fifth game. A gentleman's sweep.
I've never heard that before. That's cool. I like that. It's like, we'll give you one.
We'll give you one so you're not embarrassed by a sweep, but we really swept you.
But the fourth game was an amazing offensive performance by the Cavaliers.
It
was crazy. Scored 89 points in the first half. They 49 in the first quarter. They shot over 60%, I think, through three quarters. They were on fire.
Yeah.
And the only way that they were going to beat the Warriors is if they played like that.
So they played a perfect game, and they won by 8.
Right. And they played an outstanding game in game 3 and still lost. They were up by, I think, 5 or 6 with 2 minutes to go, and the Warriors outscored them 11-0 to win the game.
Now, I personally hope that this Warriors team breaks up now.
Yeah, it's not going to.
Like, I'm watching, and I'm just like, look at these. This is just ridiculous.
Like, they're fun to watch.
It's not a question of they're fun to watch. It's just, it's like, you can't have teams like this. I thought this back with the Heat. You know? Like, build a team, guys. Don't just everyone goes on one team and then they win championships. To me, that's not sports. That's weird. And what are they going to win? Like, the next 3 of the next 5?
Hopefully.
Like
anything but the Cavaliers, that would be fine by me.
Yeah, but look, what if it was this? Look, I don't like the Celtics, but I would still like the Celtics to win over.
I would like to see the Celtics, you know, compete with Cleveland for 7 games. That would be awesome.
It would be nice if they had showed up a little bit more than.
Yeah, I think you could a little bit on.
Of course, the Cavaliers kind of have like an all-star team, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they had Love when they picked up Love. That was like, So it's they're not hurting for talent on that team. Irving is a phenomenal player.
But there's also that thing now, right, where it's like, oh, guys will come play. I guess they were doing that back 10 years ago, but I still didn't like that either. Remember when Karl Malone and Gary Payton went to play for the Lakers?
Right.
Jeez. Right. What? That was weird.
But when you look back at the Lakers team, even though this was more of a, well, there were some free agents in there, but they had Jabbar, Johnson, Worthy, Jamal Wilkes.
Wait, do you mean Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Magic. So, yeah, Irvin. Remember Irvin?
Yeah, I remember Irvin.
But that was an amazing team. What a great team that was.
And then they lucked into a first-round pick and got James Worthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Worthy was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good. I mean, it reminds that those the Cavs Warriors reminds me a lot of the Lakers Celtics back in the 80s.
I just think it's weird when the best player in the league decides to go play the team that like play for the team that he just lost to. Yeah. I feel that's weird. Like, that's not what the Spurs have done. I admire the Spurs. I don't know how they keep putting together teams, but they do. Now, that to me is better basketball and is more like, oh, okay. But I don't know. Maybe it's just like, you know, kids these days. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? What else is there?
Speaking of kids these days, Katy Perry. I don't even know what this is because I'm not up on the pop culture. But so what's Katy Perry doing with her live streaming?
She's been live streaming her life.
Like full time, 24/7?
Yeah, like I don't think when she's sleeping or pooping, but like just constantly her talking to, you know, like-minded individuals and her giving her opinions. And I'm going to tell you, it's been pretty hilarious, John.
In a good way or a bad way?
Like, in the worst way for her, but like, does anyone care? Like, do her fans care? Like, she has a new album coming out, and so her idea was, what we'll do to promote it is do this live streaming thing, and no one cares. But, you know, her fans do. Her fans have been watching, and, you know, millions of people, but the thing is, like, people, they're able to make video clips of what she's saying, and the stuff that comes out of her mouth is just, and the people that she's talking to are just like, what are you people talking? She went on for 5 minutes about cultural appropriation, where she learned that she wore her hair in an inappropriate way, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, what? It's so pandering to that sort of,
Well, she's a role model, though, for a whole generation of
young
girls.
Weep for the future. Kids these days.
Kids these days. And on the other extreme, we go on to Adam West. This is now twice in the last month that we've had a end of the show with the passing of an iconic television movie figure.
Who was the other one?
Roger Moore.
Yes, right. The Saint and James Bond. Yes, you're exactly right. And Adam West passed away.
We've lost TV old school Batman.
Yes.
And most people know him more from The Simpsons over the last, 15 years since he
Mayor
was playing
West.
The Mayor
yes.
West. But he goes back to the short-lived four-year run of Batman and one of the worst movies ever made, but still fun to watch, the Batman movie.
Yes. Very cool to put that on at a party with no sound and right. just like music or whatever. You will half the people in the room will just be staring at it. That's a promise. Here's the thing about Adam West. He and Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler, once got kicked out of an orgy because they refused to not be in character as Batman and the Riddler.
That's a hell of a way to get kicked out of an orgy.
Right?
Yeah. It's like,
there's
costumes.
There's no part of that story that isn't amazing. Godspeed, Adam West.
We're going to miss you. So are the orgies.